In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Father Tom. Glad to be with you today. Yesterday we looked at Luke's account of John the Baptist. Today we're going to look at Matthew's account, chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent." I'm going to tell you, not very many people ask people to repent. I was listening to a person yesterday on a cable who was a Christian. He says, if you accept Jesus today, you'll never have to repent because you're taken care of in the future, past, present, and future. That's not true. We need to repent. And no one's talking about repentance. And yet, repentance is a 180-degree turnaround. We need to repent. Because if we don't repent, we're just in our sin. We need to go to confession and repent. So I'll continue. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Why did the kingdom of heaven come near? Because our Lord Jesus Christ is here. This is one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." What's he preparing for? John the Baptist is preparing for the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was hidden in Nazareth for 30 years. At the age of 30, he comes out and he starts a public ministry, preaching, healing, and delivering. John the Baptist prepared the way for the public ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair. It's not kosher. And a leather belt, not kosher, around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. They were not grasshoppers. They were from the locust tree. They're like beans. I saw them. They're ugly. And I would never want to put one in my mouth. But that's what John ate, those beans. And wild honey. Maybe he put the honey around the bean. I don't know. That's what I would do. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to John and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. They're repenting. You need to repent. I need to. Oh, yes. I need to repent. You need to repent. No one talks about repentance anymore. It's all about healing and feeling good. I'm into healing, but I'm also into repentance. And no one talks about it. Not very many people talk about it. I remember saying to a man who was on WROL, that you don't talk about the blood. He says, you talk about it for both of us. Well, I'm telling you, we need to repent and we need to proclaim the blood. But when he saw Pharisees and Sadducees coming for blood, he said to them, "Welcome. I'm glad you're here." No, that's not what he said. These are the religious people. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, that we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. John the Baptist is looking for repentance. Yes, to prepare the way of the Lord. Let's continue. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Sounds like hell to me. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Are you like that fig tree? Has no figs? Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will produce much fruit. I'm into fruit production. And what is fruit production? It's people. I want sinners to come to Jesus Christ. I want sinners to come to Jesus on their knees. I'm no better than they are. I'm a reformed sinner by the grace of God. I've repented, and I continue to repent. I have to repent. Just yesterday, I told the Lord I'm sorry for what I did. Anyway, let's continue. Therefore, the tree must bear good fruit. If it's not bearing good fruit, it is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I tell you, I could not get along without that baptism of the Holy Spirit for ministry. Oh, yes. Over 50 years now, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Over 50 years proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. 37 on the radio. But I proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ way before I went into the seminary. Oh, yes. Because God called me to do it. He called me to do it. Who will proclaim my name to this people? Send me, Lord. I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord, by your grace. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather the wheat into the granary. Are you the wheat? But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Don't be the chaff. Repent. Turn away from your sins. Make a 180-degree turnaround. Let God do something for you. We always want to do something for God. We can't do anything for God unless he does something for us. That he brings about the new birth experientially. Oh, yes. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. But he did it as a sign. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly, I love the suddenlies in the Bible, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We have the Trinity. We have Jesus baptized, the Spirit of God as a dove, and the Father's voice, this is my beloved Son. This is a theophany. This is a wonderful theophany. chapter 4 of Matthew, Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. John proclaimed the coming of Jesus' ministry, and it's fulfilled. Verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. I tell you, when you see the Sea of Galilee, one side is for the Jews and the other side is for the Gentiles. Very interestingly enough, they thought that this man was the Messiah. Well, he died, and they said he didn't bring the Gentiles to faith. Well, Jesus brought the Gentiles as well as the Jews. The Jew first, and then the Gentile. Let me tell you about the Christmas story. Who are the first people to come to the manger? The shepherds, Jewish shepherds. Who else came to the manger? The Magi. They were the pagans. The gospel is to the Jew first, the shepherds, and then to the pagans. But these pagans didn't leave pagans. They left filled with the love of God. They brought three gifts, and these gifts were the tools of their trade. They were into astrology. They left all that behind. What about you? How many books do you have on astrology? It's time for you to rip them up and burn them. It's time for you to rip them up and burn them. And what about you going to Madame Fufu? What about you? You need to repent of that. You cannot serve God and serve Madame Fufu. Oh, but she's an old lady. I don't care if she's an old, old lady. What she is doing is diabolical, and you need to repent of that. But she told me things that came about. Well, you know what? You need to repent of that. Oh, yes. I know of a woman who went to this woman for a reading, and she would charge thousands of dollars. You can't get a reading without money. It's all a big sham. Let's continue. The people who sat in darkness, that's the Gentiles, have seen a great light, that's Jesus. And for those who sat in the region and in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, guess what he proclaims? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So Jesus' message is the same as John the Baptist. Repent, turn away from your sins, believe the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ died on a cross out of love for us. He shed his blood for us so that we would be clean of sin. He not only died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. I remember being in Florida asking the children what was the gospel. And they didn't know. When I told them that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood for us, he was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, one young boy said, that's the Paschal mystery. I said, Exactly. The Paschal mystery is the gospel. Very interesting. This child knew his faith. I remember being in Arizona, and we were going to have a healing service. This is very interesting. And we put it out to the people. All Spanish people came. No gringos, no white people. And I want to tell you, that night, everyone got healed. Those Spanish people were hungry. They were hungry for the Lord. What were the white people doing? They were watching the football game. Or they were watching television. Or they were shopping. But those beautiful Spanish people knew that if God was going to do something, they were going to be there. This is what John prepared Jesus for. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed Jesus. What about you? I'm talking to people that have vocation to the priesthood. Follow me. Well, let me say goodbye to my mother and father. Follow me. Go make an application. Don't tell them you know me. Make an application. I remember saying something like this one day, and this young man, he heard what I said, and he went into the primitive order of St. Francis. He's a priest now. He heard me speaking. Go and make an application. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow Jesus, and he will make you fishers of men. Just the other night, Anthony went to get gas, and the woman in the station, Anthony gave her a rosary, and he said, "Can I pray with you?" And she let him pray with her. And Anthony said, "The Lord's telling me you're having trouble with your children, but it's going to be all right." Then Anthony invited her to St. John the Baptist Church, right across the street from the gas station. I don't know if she's ever going to come, but she got an invitation. How many times do we invite people to come and pray? How many times do we invite people to come and pray? I remember this person was going to have, Jennifer was going to have a statue of the Blessed Mother of Fatima at her home, and she invited a lot of people. Only two came, but they were invited to pray. They were invited to pray. How many people do we invite? People today are desperate. They are desperate. Gasoline is over $3 a gallon. Food prices are up and up and up. The salaries remain the same. People are desperate. Invite them to church. Invite them to Jesus. Tell them about the Jesus that you know. People say to me, "Father Tom, how do you keep on preaching after 37 years? I preach Jesus. He's always new. He says, I make all things new." Invite people. so important. Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. As he went there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. I wonder how Mr. Zebedee felt about it. His workers left him to follow Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we have to break from pornography. We have to break from things that are not of God. When we follow Jesus, we need to repent of those things. Burn them. Burn them. It's so important. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. I tell you, you put in the bulletin, we're going to have a healing service. You'll fill the church. Why? Because people are desperate. People are desperate. And when you're desperate, you're either going to find Jesus or you're going to go the wrong way. You're going to go see Madame Fufu. It's very sad that the church people do not invite people, not many of them. Even if they say no, they've been invited. You've asked them to come. That's what it's all about. We want to share our faith. We want God to touch people in a magnificent way. Ryan, a young man who's now a monk, brought Anthony to the school of the Holy Spirit, where he got delivered. Thank God that Ryan did that. They were best friends. Now Ryan is in a monastery. He's as happy as a pig in mud. He is so happy. This is what he wanted all his life, to contemplate the love of God. Oh, yes. And to pray for the people. Oh, yes. I thank God for the Carmelites that are women. I thank God for the Poor Clares that are women. I thank God for the Trappistines that are women, that they pray for the church. I've often said they are what makes the church not take a stroke in the spirit. Their prayers, night and day, causes the church to stand up without stroking. Oh, yes. This is real. What about prayer? Do you pray? I pray in the car. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Pray in the car. As Father Matt says, 1% of the day, pray. That's 15 minutes. Give the Lord 15 minutes, 1% of the day, alone, with God, with Jesus, with your Bible. 1% is 15 minutes. How many do that? Oh, we're all so busy. Well, you're going to ride by these malls, and you're going to see all these automobiles in the temple. I call them the temples of 2000. People, malls, cars, buying, selling, doing anything but praising God. And the Christmas experience is all about Jesus. It's not about malls. It's not about gifts. It's not about things like that. It's about Jesus. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. You, me, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Go and witness to somebody. Tell them how Jesus has changed your life. Go and witness to somebody. Tell them how Jesus has loved you with an everlasting love. Go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Because if you don't, people are desperate. They'll go looking for love in all the wrong places. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.